Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another podcast for I'm Adopted. Thank you so much for tuning in, and it's been awesome, you guys' feedback. Last week's story was incredible from Daria Rottenberg, which was awesome. Thank you so much, Daria, for being involved in the podcast last week. We had some great feedback on the story, on your story, and just reaching out to the community, which is important, and that is what I'm Adopted is all about. Having that community there for adopted people around the world to reach out with each other, talk to each other, share advice, share your stories, and if you want to search for your birth parents, you can reach out and share your story about that as well. Now, there's all sorts of stories, of course. Every story is different around the world, and we've got another adoptee joining us this week, this time from Issaquah, Washington, United States, and he's gonna tell his story. Alex Schmidt reached out to me a while back, actually, and he's been following the project and everything with I'm Adopted, and thank you, Alex, for agreeing to be part of this podcast. And I asked if he could share his story, talk about his life, everything like that, which is important. This is why we have this podcast for adoptees, and this is why we have the I'm Adopted podcast and everything as a whole as I'm Adopted. Now, Alex was born in Vladivostok in 1999. He was adopted at the age of 9 months by an American couple, and he now resides in Issaquah, Washington, which is 30 minutes away from Seattle. Now, actually, recently, a few months ago, I was actually in Oregon, which is very close. I was in Portland, Oregon, which is very close to Seattle. I didn't have any time to catch up with Alex, but since then we have kept in touch over, you know, over social media through I'm Adopted and things like that, which is pretty cool. It's great to hear you guys' stories and just reaching out to you guys. It's really interesting to see and listen and understand that you guys are also everywhere around the world and you guys are just all reaching out with each other, and that's what the community is all about. So I'm going to get Alex to tell us his story, and thank you, Alex, so much for being part of this week's podcast. I really appreciate it, and I hope you guys enjoy the story. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex, for having me on this podcast. I was born in Vladivostok, Russia in 1999 and was adopted at the age of 9 months by an American couple. And the end result was me moving to America. I am currently 20 years old and reside in Issaquah, Washington, which is a suburb about 30 minutes east of Seattle, Washington.
Now, Alex's story is really incredible. It's a real touching and emotional story, and you can tell that his journey has taken a while for him, and just everything with learning, growing up in America, all of that, and just being curious of your birth parents. And I asked him, what do you know of your birth parents so far? Is there a lot that you know, or do you know nothing at all, or would you like to know something? It's a very common question that I do ask others who are adopted, in particular from Russia. Of course, everybody, I'm talking for everybody around the world, whatever country you're adopted from, I always ask, what do you know of your birth parents, and are you interested in finding them, or if you're not, why are you not? It's not as in why you're not, please tell me why you're not, you should know. It's not about that. It's about, I'm just curious to know your story, and what do you know of your birth parents?
I don't know much about my birth family, only that my birth mom was really poor. She was 18 when she gave birth to me, and her name is Nadezhda Sergeyevna Tomnikova, born on October 6th, 1980. As I mentioned earlier, I was born in Vladivostok, Russia in 1999, so I can only assume that that is where she was living at the time of my birth. I really wonder about her constantly, as any adopted child does. I wonder, of course, you know, do I look like her? But also, like, does she love me? What does she think of me? You know, the other stuff that, of course, a lot of adoptees are like, oh, do I look like my birth mom? Do I have siblings? And of course, I wondered that. But at the core, it's just a longing to be known and be loved by the woman that pushed me out of her birth canal and carried me for the 32 weeks that I was in her uterus. Growing up in America, I was given opportunities that I would not have had if I had stayed in Russia. My childhood, I would consider to be pretty normal. I mean, I lived in a suburban house in Issaquah, which is my hometown, which is right outside of Seattle, Washington. I had friends.
was pretty outgoing, confident as a toddler. It was an idyllic childhood. I grew up knowing that I was adopted. My parents have always told me that my brother and I were their gifts from God because they were unable to have their own biological children. My mom has told me that God gave them a dream in which they opened up a mailbox and they ended up seeing a picture of someone who looked like me and someone who looked like my brother. It's pretty neat, if you stop to think about it. My mom also has made a really big book full of pictures and mementos, such as birthday cards from my friends, pictures of the orphanage, their trip to Vladivostok when they went to get me, as well as emails that they ended up sending out to our friends and family back here in the States, documenting the trip that would turn the family of two into a family of three. One of the emails that was sent was with me typing just a bunch of random gibberish into the computer that they had in Vladivostok, and the translation is, "Dear Grandma and Grandpa, I'm really looking forward to visiting and playing with you. I'm a very happy kid and I love to be held. I'm very happy that you are my grandparents. I'll be there soon. Love, Alex." It's really special and endearing to me that my mom would save all this stuff for me, knowing that this is something to be celebrated, cherished. Just makes me feel loved by her. "Dear Grandma, Grandpa, and Aunt Carol." Aunt Carol's my mom's sister. "Today's the day. I'm coming home to America today to see you, and boy, am I excited. Yesterday, I learned that I was a VIP when I arrived in Moscow. We were specially met at the airport and taken through formalities in a special VIP service. Uncle Sergey says that it was just for me, but I think it was also for my mom, because Uncle Sergey likes her and wants her to like Russia. Last night, I met my Boeing Moscow family, and boy, were they great. They gave Mom a big bouquet of flowers, and I got a big Russian teddy bear. He's four times as big as I am. He's so big, we will have to leave him here for someone else to bring home. Today, Uncle Sergey has arranged for me to use the VIP service when we leave Moscow. He'll let Mom and Dad use it too, I guess. I just wanted to let you know, I'm just a little sick and will probably be very tired after I trip, so I won't be my usual rosy self. Don't worry, you'll see me my happy side soon. See you in a few hours. Love, Alex." What I found out about the flight home, though, it was, considering how close Vladivostok is to Seattle, it would make sense to fly into, like, Korea or someplace and then catch a connection to Vladivostok. But what happened was we had to fly from Vladivostok to Moscow, which is like an 11-hour flight on its own. And then we had to fly from Moscow to Seattle, which is another 11 hours. So it was a lot of travel. Speaking of which, travel was also a very big part of my childhood. As a young child, I have distinct memories of driving down to Albany, Oregon to visit my grandparents on my dad's side. We would also travel to Disneyland every year to visit my great aunt and cousins on my mom's side. I've done a couple international trips, with the most recent being to Europe We did London and Paris a couple of weeks ago, which was really fun with my family and really great to connect with them. The only time I've been back to Russia was when I went to get my younger brother, which I was thankful that I had the opportunity to. It was such a mind-blowing experience for me. I just remember the first day we pulled up to his orphanage. I got in and I got to see him for the first time and hold him. I just knew that he was part of our family and that he was my brother. It was really special. Around that time, my adoptive dad was definitely director of the Boeing Russia program. So with my dad knowing the culture and the language, it was a big asset in both my adoption as well as my brother's. From what little paperwork I do have regarding my own personal adoption, I had a very rough beginning. The orphanage that I was in was so poor that I was being fed watered-down tea. I wasn't receiving the stimulation necessary for a baby because there weren't enough hands going around the orphanage to help. Too many babies, not enough hands to help. So I was deprived of stimulation. I caught pneumonia, which can be deadly to infants. However, I survived. As a kid, I wasn't really interested in learning about Russia or the language or the culture. And mostly this is because of what my mom has said about Russia. My mom really doesn't like the current situation with Putin. And I know I just don't want to get onto a political tirade because that's going to take away from the story. And I know there are definitely people out there from Russia that are nice and good and all that. Right now, the political situation is what really turns my mom off. In addition, I was raised in a Christian church and grew up attending the various youth programs at my home church in Bellevue. And while my life is amazing, I have struggled with some separation anxiety regarding the adoption, which I feel is pretty common in adoptees. As a young child, I wouldn't let my adoptive mom leave the room without me throwing a big grand mal tantrum. The separation anxiety has made it hard for me to feel loved by others, and while I definitely know in my head that I am loved by others, it's hard for me to often accept that. In addition to the separation anxiety, I have also struggled with a sense of belonging. I was bullied in elementary, which is the equivalent of primary school in the rest of the world, and middle school, which is secondary. Eventually ended up finding a place where I belonged in my high school sports medicine class. Shout out to Todd Parsons, best teacher I've ever had. As a young kid, when I was being bullied, I would often wonder if I belonged. I didn't feel it at the time because of the bullying. It was really bad and honestly really hurtful. But In a way, I'm kind of thankful for it because it has made me into the person that I am today. And I believe God has used that, turning the pain that I've experienced into something beautiful. A real stinger is that, like, I did have friends in elementary and middle school, but starting in seventh grade, they started all moving back to Utah, because, I mean, they're Mormon, they want to be with their family. But at the time, it felt like it was all me and something that I had done. But it really was just the simple fact that, oh, they've got family in Utah, they're Mormon, they want to go back and be with their family. But it was really hard for me to accept that. And I think that was partially in part of because of my separation anxiety. Right now, I believe I have a fairly good relationship, although at times it can be straining. We have our usual quarrels and fights, and with those fights and quarrels, it always comes from a place of deep love for each other. I'm my mom and dad's baby. They're the ones who raised me, so of course I love them, and I'm so thankful for what they have done. I love my brother to pieces, and although in typical brother fashion, we end up fighting a lot, and I guess that's kind of how we show each other that we love each other. But I really want that to change. As a kid, only growing up with one brother, while a lot of my friends had more than one sibling, it was kind of, I don't know, it just didn't feel right. And I know I should be grateful for what I do have, but part of me is just wanting to have a bigger family, because both of my parents, and by parents I mean adoptive parents, the ones that have raised me, they all have four other siblings that in a way I kind of wish that I had, if you know what I mean, which is something that I'm kind of hoping to get out of my adoption process journey that I'm on, learning more about where I came from, like my birth family, genetics, which I just took two DNA tests a couple weeks ago. One of them's going to be coming. Results will get here after the podcast, unfortunately. I just am hoping to, I guess, gain a even bigger family than what I have currently, because family is just so important to me. I believe adoption is extremely important and plan on adopting when the time comes for me to start my own family. However, adoption also has a very traumatic beginning. A child's physiological connection to their birth mom is cut off abruptly, and it's traumatic, as I'm learning. But with that being said, I wouldn't trade being adopted for anything else in the world. It's so beautiful, heartwarming, uplifting to me. And I know that when I have kids, I'll be able to understand what they're going through as an adoptee myself. The struggle of not knowing your birth family, where you came from. The struggle of having two identities. Your birth identity and then your identity after you're adopted. And for an adoptee, one of the, at least what I have found for me to be considered true healing, is meshing both of those identities into one. I guess some advice that I would have for fellow adoptees is just know that this is something that's a journey for each and every one of us. There's no right or wrong way to feel about how you are adopted or your adoption story, which I think it's so important that we share our stories, because a lot of people only look at the good. And I mean, while there is a lot of good that comes from adoption, there's also a whole lot of trauma, and not many people recognize that. I also believe that adoptees should connect with each other. I know, at least personally for me, this group has been amazing, and I felt like I have been able to connect, even though I'm all the way in Seattle and everyone is all spread out around the globe. Just that sense of connection is so important for everyone, but especially including adoptees. I know growing up, I have been able to actually connect a whole lot with some people that are adopted. One of my really close friends, I'd consider to be one of my ride or dies. She is also adopted, albeit from America, and she knows her birth family. But for me, which it's good, but for me right now, I don't know that. And it just, in a way, it can feel like a slap to the face, but still connect, because connection is just so vitally important. I don't know who the heck my father or birth father is, which there's no way of me tracking that down until I get the results back on my DNA test, hopefully. But I have a better chance of finding her, I guess, even though there's not a whole lot out there. I mean, Russia at the time is, and still is, corrupt, and record keeping was just not a thing that they did. So I'm just really curious to get my hands on every single little piece of information about me and my story that I can. I have always been curious about my adoption. As a young child, I have distinct memories of asking my adoptive parents to tell me the story of when they went to adopt me. This would often involve them pulling out a book that they had made. I mean, it's just a bunch of pieces of paper put together with pictures and a couple words explaining, you know, how they brought lots of clothes and diapers and toys and whatnot for me and brought me home. And it just makes me so thankful that I was adopted. Knowing that the past that I had was very poor, I didn't have enough food, so I was very malnourished as a child, as an infant. It just makes me so thankful and appreciative of what I do have. I have two parents that love me, and I'm so grateful for them. I'm so thankful for the strength that my birth mom had to place me up for adoption, because without her doing that, I would 100% without a doubt not be in the States right now. And for that, I don't know how I could ever thank her. So part of me, like, finding her, I just want to give her a big thank you. I love her. I pray for her every day. There's not a moment that goes by without me hoping, praying, thinking about her, wondering about the kind of life that she has or had if she had passed away. I definitely hope that she was a believer, that one day I'll be able to see her again in heaven. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. Alex, your work is amazing in terms of just getting adoptees connected and spreading the message of adoption and just allowing us to share our stories. So keep that up. I'm really fortunate to be able to be part of this amazing organization. And I think that I definitely can attest to, in terms of connecting with others that are adopted, is that I have had some experience with that. When I was in, I mentioned my family friend earlier who was adopted from the States. That when I went away to study at college, which we interchange college and university, where I know at least in the UK, university is our version of college, I guess, to put it lightly. I've had so many people that I have met there at Seattle Pacific University who are adopted as well. In fact, one of them, you wouldn't have heard about this, but there's a crane accident in Seattle that was really tragic, and a student lost her life as a result of the crane falling on the Uber vehicle that she was in, and she and I had both connected over the fact that we were both adopted. I definitely don't want to end this message on a downer, though. So I'm just so thankful that you're doing the work that you're doing. And I hope to be able to stay involved and keep in touch. Das vidanya.
In a big bashuas pasiba and das vidanya, Alex, thank you so much for being part of the podcast this week. And of course, as you said, it's all about connecting with each other, being curious, and just knowing what's out there. And of course, you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's happened with your birth parents. Everybody has a different story and a different background, and I hope that you are able to connect with them one day and find out what happened and just reconnect and learn about your history. And of course, with you doing a DNA test and all of that, it is also vital, because you can also trace back some information that you may never know. You may not be able to have a direct connect with your birth parents with the DNA test, but at least you'll get to know some information, which is a sense of closure as well for a lot of adoptees. And of course, as I say all the time, every story is different. You know, whether you're adopted into America, New Zealand, Australia, and somewhere in Europe, and you know, everybody has a great story to tell. And thank you so much, Alex, for being part of the podcast this week. I appreciate it so much. And hello from New Zealand to you all in America. Friends of yours who are probably listening and probably trying to figure out where my accent is from. Yes, it's the New Zealand accent. It's all different. We all have different accents, of course, but we're all adopted and we're all together, and that's what the community is for. So thank you very much, and of course, big respect to you for sharing your story, and a big thank you to all of you for listening. And until next time, das vidanya, it was shuas pasiba, paka paka. Thank you so much. Thank you.